God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time.
Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host of Wise Women, a wonderful program that Gary Null originated with the purpose of bringing forward wisdom from women of all ages, but with the objective to disseminate information that could be helpful to make people out there. I'm not suggesting only for women, and those of you who are men can also engage in the expertise of some of these wonderful people that I've managed to have as guests on Wise Women. And so today we have a wonderful woman. Her name is Debbie Reynolds. And no, not the famous star that we all wish was still with us, but Debbie Reynolds was actually named after the movie star Debbie Reynolds because her parents loved her so much. And Debbie is such a beautiful woman. She certainly could be on the stage, but right now she has focused her time and attention to bringing health and well-being to people of all ages. And so with that, I'd like to give you a breakdown of who she has been. She's been in the healthcare field and worked as a nurse, graduating from her first nursing program in 1981. And she has gone on a beautiful journey, going back to grad school after a couple of decades of working and raising four children. Then she received her Master of Science in Nursing from the University of Nebraska Medical Center in 2006. Her specialty areas are family practice, psychiatry, and functional and anti-aging medicine, which, of course, Gary Null focuses so much of his time and attention on the anti-aging protocols that we've all managed to enjoy. She trained in a dual track program that emphasized holistic care by treating the patient's physical and psychological needs simultaneously, which, you know, Gary always approaches things that way. She's a board certified, as a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, a family nurse practitioner, and a functional anti-aging medicine specialist. So she really has quite a diverse background, and her patients can enjoy all of these wonderful aspects that she brings to her client base. She completed her PhD with a doctorate in integrative medicine at Quantum University in Honolulu, Hawaii. And her research study and dissertation were focused on, which is what we want to really get a little bit of more information today, on a 40-day meditation study involving three different groups of meditators using different techniques of meditation. So she also trained and certified with Deepak Chopra as a primordial sound meditation instructor and as a yoga instructor in three different styles of yoga. So she has brought in so much information into who she is and is able to present this in such a powerful way to the people who come to her, and we'll make sure you know how to reach her throughout the program. So as a holistic practitioner, she offers a variety of services for all ages, including medical and psychological diagnostic evaluation and treatment, using the most effective holistic protocols, which we love. She's had over 40 years of experience as a healthcare professional with her focus on keeping patients well and preventing the onset of chronic diseases by blending traditional and holistic medicine. And isn't that what we're all about and what we want to do, as opposed to some of what, you know, our traditional practices bring? So she's currently licensed as a nurse practitioner in Arizona and in Nebraska and Hawaii, and she lives in Cottonwood. And I had the privilege of meeting her at my little boutique in Old Town. And that's why we're able to have her on this show. So she offers both virtual and in-person consultations. So she has her company is Holistic Harmony. And this was founded by Debbie in 2006. And her vision for Holistic Harmony is to be a healthcare facility where she can serve those who have trusted her care and guide them with lasting research in integrated medicine and allows them to heal. So as a nurse practitioner, she shares her expertise in holistic care at every encounter and getting into the root cause of the problem. So true healing can actually take place. So her patients receive consultations based on the latest research in preventative medicine and balancing the whole body so they can feel good at any age. And so she treats people from children to geriatric and guides patients to complete health in mind, body, and spirit. With that illustrious introduction, Debbie, please welcome you to Wise Women. How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you, Kathleen, for such a wonderful introduction. And wow, what a great synopsis of my professional training. I'm a lifelong learner and I love to learn and I'll always be learning until I take my last breath. But thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it was such a privilege and we shared some wonderful moments together that the synchronicity that happens, and it seems to be more prevalent now than ever, where we connect with people in such a powerful way. And that's what you and I did. So there, there are many things that I would like to inquire to see what we can bring forward to our listeners. But tell me about that 40-day meditation study that you did.
Well, I have always been interested in meditation ever since the 80s when I started reading Dr. Wayne Dyer's books and kind of diving in to holistic medicine before it ever became popular. And so when I decided to go on and get my final degree, I wanted to do it in a non-traditional way and found Quantum University. And after already studying with Deepak Chopra and the founder of Quantum University, Dr. Paul Druin, he developed a meditation technique that I was also studying at the time, proconsciousness meditation. So that's why I decided to study it, because I wanted to learn more. And to have anything be effective, you need to stay with it for a certain amount of time. So I chose 40 days just because, you know, a lot of the spiritual gurus have chosen to do 40 days. And we'd meditated for twice a day using the three different meditation techniques. And it was such a transformational journey for all the participants being new at meditation. And we added a lot of different dimensions. One of them, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Lynn Mataggart, The Power of Intention, she wrote that. And so with the 40-day meditation, each and every individual that was in the participant, that was a participant in the study, had an intention. And actually all of the participants that completed the 40 days, you had to complete at least 2/3 of the 40 days to be in the study. And they all actually manifested their intentions in the study, which, you know, there was 24 people in the study. So that was really amazing results. And we tested cortisol levels and melatonin levels. And so it was a very scientific aspect of meditation. And it was really a great experience.
Well, I certainly can. I'm not familiar with her, but I can attest years ago when I was with the Actors Institute, Ted Danson and Dan Fossey at the time were running the Actors Institute. And it was a combination of, you know, for performers, which of course that was my background, and personal development. And what we had done was we created actually a calendar and a timeline. And we set intentions for the things that we, a long list of them in actuality. And that was actually a 3-month program. And it was a rather aggressive, intentional board that I put together. And I actually accomplished every single one of them except for two. And then I looked at that. And what I realized was I really didn't want them. I thought it was a good idea, but then in truth, I thought, no, that's going to be way too much work for me
Yes.
to
And
do.
that's what we found in the study as well. One of the participants, her intention was that she wanted to have financial success enough to buy a house, but she realized during her meditations early on that she was a single woman and didn't want the responsibility that goes along with owning a house. And so then she actually transformed her intention to another intention, which she did manifest at the end of the. So it was more of a health transformation that she wanted to make rather than a financial owning a house transformation. So when you go within and you go to that inner self that is all knowing, your soul knows what you need and want. You tap into that, and many times what you thought you want isn't really what you wanted in the first place. So that's really the beauty of meditation.
I think that's such a perfect way of creating the context of the possibility of what, any of us could create. And were there was it a mix of men and women in the study?
It was men and women, and there were three groups of eight. And that's another thing that Lynn McTaggart focused on in her book, that there is power in numbers. And so the intention was shared and supported by each one that was in the group, which is also powerful.
Wow. So words, each person presented their intention to the group,
Correct.
and then the group intentionally empowered their each individual's. That is fabulous. And let's do that. Let's
Yes,
create one here.
yes. And I feel that human beings are meant to commune together and not socially isolate. And when we lift each other up and support each other in what we truly want, it really helps. We help each other. We need each other.
We do need each other. And many studies have been done in specific about women, because women approach their relationships and their sisterhood. And I've had a couple of programs about that specifically, the importance of sisterhood. And they've done studies and show that, women connect on a certain level. And when there are support groups, Jean Boland talked about that. She's a wonderful, I don't know if you know her work, but she is in the mental health field, and they've proven that women who have that, as opposed to being more isolated, definitely do have improved conditions in their life and in their health. And so, I think men connect on a little different level. I think that men just, by nature, their focus is not so much in the same way that women connect.
That is so
And I know,
true. That is so
yeah.
true. I think that many times men need that same nurturing and support, but in our society, it doesn't really condone that kind of sharing with men. And but I think that is slowly changing too, that men are being more open to supporting each other in that way.
There are some organizations that have been developed. The Mankind Project is one for men where they do come together in, let's say, a softer way to share their concerns and get support by the group. But, usually, I mean, the focus for men is, of course, sports. That's the big thing, and business. And so, they're almost forced into that kind of mentality of thought and sharing. Men, it's at my shop because I have a male business partner, and when men come in, and they immediately will connect on sports, and they, my business partner knows the history of every single football player, and it's they have it's a kind of study that they have become immersed in, and that's where their focus goes, and understandably, because that's the way society has dictated in a certain way. Now, so many things have changed in the last few years, as we know. But I
think, it is their comfort level more so than getting right down into the deep hearted stuff right away. Like women seem to be able to go there a little easier.
Yes.
Than men do.
Yes. Yes, which
on,
is
on
why,
the broad scale anyway.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about the results that you found with this 40-day study.
So, like I said, the results were great as far as the stress response, the cortisol response. Many people in our society today are in the sympathetic response, which is fight or flight, and they may not even know it. It's just that we have this driven behavior of go, 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 work, work, work. And we got to get things done. And many times our nervous system doesn't switch over to the autonomic, which is rest and restore. So many people have high cortisol levels. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to check cortisol levels. And the gold standard is to do a saliva test at four different times during the day to see if you have a diurnal curve. So it's supposed to be higher in the morning and then gradually go down to be lower at night. You really don't need cortisol at night when you're ready to go to sleep. But that's when many people have high cortisol because they've had a big long day, they haven't had time to wake to wind down, and then their cortisol levels are high when they go to bed, which doesn't promote good deep sleep. So that was another reason why I wanted to check the melatonin levels, because serotonin and melatonin are on the same pathway. So your serotonin is higher during the day, and then then the melatonin is made on that pathway. Well, many times people have a dysfunctional melatonin production too that can disrupt their sleep. So what we found was with the participants that were able to complete the study was that they did have a better cortisol response, a better stress response as far as the diurnal curve, and that their melatonin levels, their sleep patterns were better. We also use the Muse. Are you familiar with the Muse to monitor the brain waves?
No.
It's a meditation app that you can have on your phone. And so we're able to track the EEG brain waves, during the meditation and look at those over time, over the 40 days. So that was also another tool that we used in the meditation. So I'm really a big promoter of meditation just because of the results that I found in the study and just because the results that I've seen as far as people really waking up to who they truly are and, being in the present moment, which is all we have, and really knowing themselves and having a better idea of what path of life that they want to be on and not the hamster wheel of being in sympathetic nervous system all the time and going, going, going and not really getting anywhere but stressing themselves out.
Well, I can imagine that my cortisol levels are probably not where they should be.
Well, and I need meditation more than anyone too, because all my life, I've always had something going on, raising four kids.
For sure. Four kids.
Medical programs and, completing things and trying to work and get everything done. And so for me, I think that's why I had an interest in meditation early on in my 20s, because I knew that I'm by nature a doer. I love to explore life and be on the go and have a lot of things going on. And so for me, I have a very creative mind. So quieting my mind and settling in and, having that spaciousness in my day two times a day is ideal. I really personally need that myself too.
So you said you used three different types of meditation. What were those three types?
So the first one was a mindfulness meditation in the first group. And so that is just being present and not really having any technique that they're doing. They're just sitting with their spine erect and their eyes closed. And they all did the time span of 20 minutes. And then the second meditation group was, it was a really different type of meditation that I wanted to correlate with the pro-consciousness meditation because they had similar techniques as far as breathing. And the meditation was called humming bee meditation. It's a very ancient meditation. And part of it is to close the senses. So you close your eyes and you actually close your ears. And so you use your hands to cover your ears and your eyes, and then you do a breathing technique, and then you hum. And wow. What it does is it stimulates nitric oxide production.
Wow.
And, yeah, and so it's actually had, I wanted to use actually something too that had been researched prior. And so the benefits of this had been shown to be very beneficial, especially for the nitric oxide level. And, you know, we have so many problems with people in our country that have heart disease, and nitric oxide is something that we all need more of. And so, and then the other thing with humming is it stimulates the vagus nerve, which brings you out of sympathetic nervous system. And so that the participants of that one, none of them had ever done the breathing technique before, but there was one participant in particular that worked nights, and they had a very stressful job in the medical, she was actually a nurse. And she said that actually she was skeptical because she was not a previous meditator, and that calmed her down more than anything that she had ever had in her life, as far as she could be having one of the most stressful shifts at work, and that just brought her into peace and calm quicker than anything. So it was one that a lot of people haven't heard of, but very ancient technique. And then the third one was proconsciousness meditation, which Dr. Paul Druin, the founder of Quantum University, developed that. And it has to do with crystals, and then also using a ancient technique called breath of fire. And and then, you know, all three participants, you know, it was a sitting meditation with the eyes closed, but it was using the crystals and the breath, and then using what they call a bond when you breathe in and then hold it and then exhale, and placing the crystal at different chakra areas on the body. So those two were more complex, group two and three, than the mindfulness group. But what I felt was really fascinating, which I kind of assumed it would turn out that way, because I feel that it doesn't matter what style of meditation you use, as long as you go within and still and quiet your mind and be in the present moment, it doesn't matter what technique you use, because we still had positive results in the mindfulness group that wasn't doing any kind of special technique. So you can meditate anywhere, anytime, and not use any kind of special technique and still get the benefits.
So you had 24 participants and you broke it into three different groups.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And each meditation was 20 minutes long, each of them?
Yeah, 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening.
Ah, and they did that. And then how did they come together as a group? I assume that the meditations took place privately.
Yes, it was 2020. And when I did the research group, and actually people were from different areas, so it wasn't like we could meet in person. So we met on Zoom and we did weekly meetings on Zoom to discuss how things were going and if they had any questions about the meditation techniques and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the, you know, the most challenging difficulties with a study where, you know, people are required to have the discipline to do, you know, the 20 minutes each day. It's just like with, you know, Gary Null has his anti-aging protocol, and people meet at the start and then, you know, 90 days of what the protocol is to be able to ensure that everybody is able to meet those requirements so that, you know, the study has validity. Did you have any buddy system with each other, or How did
We
you set up
did.
accountability?
We did. That was the Power of Eight groups that we had. But the problem was that people do have busy lives. They worked and it was hard for them to commit. So we did have dropouts in the study. And so, you know, I didn't have a large enough group to really have to be able to write a really profound dissertation because of the limited amount of people that were able to do the 40 days and complete it. And that's what I find with my patients in my practice, is that I recommend meditation to all my patients. And I think there isn't anyone in this world that doesn't need meditation, because we all need to go within. That's, you know, our life is really inside and it projects out. And so we all need to go inside first before we live our daily life. But we get all caught up in the time space of not having enough time to get everything done. And it's really hard to commit to a steady practice. And I think that is the most challenging part of you know, getting someone to realize the benefit of meditation is, okay, I know the benefits, but how do I stick with it? But
yes,
that's with anything, you know. You mentioned the anti-aging program. Even eating a healthy diet is difficult for a lot of people to stick with. Even, you know, getting on a great sleep pattern and going to bed and waking up at the same time, all of those lifestyle things shouldn't be that hard, but yet it is, because we have so many choices and only so much time in the day.
It's so true. Recently, we have a wonderful, I would say, group of women that, you know, isn't formally that. But there is a group of women that my friend Michelle Phillips, who's been on my show a couple of times, and she kind of decides, you know, that there's going to be a process. She is a practitioner herself, very well known in Europe, and has done quite a lot here in the Sedona area. And she'll, you know, kind of let everybody know, okay, you know, next Thursday, can everybody come, little potluck, and she's going to do a process with us. And that group gets together and does their processes with her. And that's something that is all, you know, is always, it elevates all us. And, you know, but what happened at the last one in Easter is one of the women confessed that she's had issues with weight her whole life. And she said, you know, and she was very emotional about it and said, you know, if I don't do something about this, I know I'm going to die. And that was a very powerful disclosure that she presented to the group. And so the whole group supported her, and I said, you know, I'll be your buddy. Let's talk every day at 7:30 in the morning and see how we're doing. And so we did that every morning, 7:30. And she herself is also in the healthcare business, and she became very active on her own behalf this process, and has made wonderful progress. And, you know, this way of having even one other person where you feel you are accountable to is very powerful. I know in the 70s, when I was very involved in all the personal development that was happening with EST and LifeSpring and the Actors Institute, and, you know, on into the 80s with all of that. And they very wisely, after a seminar or a workshop, they would put groups of people together, 4 to 8 people, and they would continue to meet weekly and be accountable to each other in those meetings. And some of those groups went on for years, and the effectiveness of them was insurmountable in terms of the results. And so as you stated several times in this interview, the importance of having connectedness with one another.
Yes, the power of groups and supporting each other, that is so important. And accountability is so true. And, you know, why is it that we're accountable to everyone else, but we're not accountable to ourselves? And so, you know, it's important that we nurture ourselves and make our own self important. And I think we can realize that more when we're in groups, that we can support each other and realize that, you know, even doctors and nurses that are in the profession, they don't always do what's right for them either. And they need accountability too. And yeah, so we all do need each other. And it's important to, you know, especially if you're getting started as a new meditator, if there is a meditation group in your area, to go there and get the support of others so that you can get in the habit
habit.
Yeah, that's it. Creating a habit of just doing it every day. And I heard Joe Dispenza, who has meditation retreats all over the world.
I love him.
Oh, I did
several times in person.
Yeah, and I've been
he's
to a couple
terrific.
Of his week-long retreats. And, you know, he's a firm believer that you need to get out of your stressful life and be in that that community of people to de-stress and to create that energy and habit in your life. And it is so true. And he said, one of his statements that I loved is, why wouldn't you want to have a date with the divine? That's what you do when you go inside and meditate.
It's true.
A date with the divine. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Oh, it's so great to have some sort of term that you connect with like that. And it's true, you know, and even though I know that, I've been blessed with some of the most extraordinary spiritual downloads or epiphanies or transmissions, and I've been told that, and yet, you know, I have certainly mastered taking care of others, and I still struggle with taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet how to master that for myself, but that would be a good intention for me to embrace.
It's a very common thing for people to help everyone else and not take care of themselves until everyone else is taken care of. But actually, you should really take care of yourself first, and then you have more energy to take care of others. It's the same philosophy of putting the oxygen mask on yourself, you know, in the airplane before you help someone else.
And I know
we have
that,
to keep reminding ourselves of that.
I think I better put that right then on my wall or something because it's completely accurate. And, you know, that kind of perspective is something that, you know, and I mean you with all of your studies and you four children to take care of. I mean, I've not ever been a mother. I've always been a businesswoman. So, but you know, my routine is I get up in the morning. The first thing I do is go feed the birds and put the water in the, you know, in their bird bath and, you know, make sure that they're okay. And, you know, I have, you know, my little furry children that I take care of and, you know, and then all of the people that are in my sphere that, you know, I check in to make sure they're okay. And, you know, I maybe need to make a list and put myself somewhere there.
But
it's a little bit of a challenge. Are you familiar with the human design work, the Jovian archives that show your blueprint of who you are? It's a very powerful. Oh, I will introduce that to you. This was created by a man by the name of Ra, and he had an 8-day transmission that he said nearly killed him. They downloaded all of this incredible information, engaging different modalities into one system. And it's, you know, it's called the Human Design System, and there's a chart showing your chakra systems, and then they call them gates. They're little lines that connect to all of these, and there are motors, these different motors, and they have identities of your archetype. And my archetype is I'm the queen, not the hoity-toity queen, but the queen who takes care of, you know, the whole tribe. And I, you know, my astrology, it shows this and all these kinds of things. And I do that, you know, it's just my nature. I can't not do that. But it definitely shows these channels where I'm not able to take care of myself very well. So it's like the necessity is to have the tribe take care of me so I can take care of them. You see?
Yeah.
And looking at that blueprint, it definitely gives you insight about yourself. And if you can actually actively utilize any system, like if I really activated my intentionality in understanding, there are ways that the blueprint tells you how you should approach your life and how you should approach, you know, certain things. Because in my blueprint, because I have so many motors, people want to plug into them, and it's like almost like I can't help myself but want to give whatever is being asked of me. So, you know, I engage. Yeah, in that.
I think we all have those in quantum physics, that there's a term, morphogenic field. And so we do carry that into this world. And so it sounds like that's the blueprint that you're talking about. And they've done studies on animals about the morphogenic field. It can actually be measured. And so, yeah, we do come into this world with certain, genetic profiles, but we're not a victim of our genetics. We can actually do something about that. You know, we have the tenor. Yeah. The morphogenic field. And, you know, they say that goes back, you know, maybe seven generations. And so there are things that we can modify. You know, we have those tendencies. We come in as, you know, having some strengths and weaknesses, but then we also can modify those. So I think knowledge is power. And, you know, I'm writing a book that it's called Wake Up Call, The Time Is Now, Empower the Healer Within
great
You.
Title.
And great title. I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about today on the show, but I'm glad you brought up the meditation and the meditation study, because to empower the healer within, you do really need to know thyself. I mean, that's the most important thing you can do in this life, is to know.
Yes. And
and
use many different modalities to find that out.
And there are so many different modalities, and meditation is one of the best ways, just to be in the moment, mindfulness, just to be in the moment instead of being in your head or busy, unconscious, doing things. So, you know, that is one of the best ways that we can, you know, lead a wonderful, blissful life, is to.
Yeah. And to be effective in the own matter of our existence. And how we operate in it. So, you know, one of the things in the human design, because I have so many skills and so many gifts that I have available to myself, when I come into someone's life or a project or whatever, I've had to be really mindful, because the human design says, for my blueprint, that I have to get permission from people, because I immediately say, oh, you need this. And then I go do it. And it's like, nobody gave me permission to do that. So I can seem like an intrusion or a steamroller in a situation. And so in my human design, it says, you must ask for permission. And I constantly have to remind myself of that, because I know otherwise it's like, who the hell she thinks she is? You know, and it's all coming from my heart and from my desire to help. But, you know, I had to realize that if they're not asking me for that help, I'm not doing them a favor.
That's true.
And, you know, to get permission.
It's the same in my field too. If someone is not ready to be healed, it's not the right timing. And, you know, I can give them all the, you know, the advice or the protocols or whatever it is that they need when they come to see me. But if they're not ready to heal, there isn't anything that's going to help them. They need to be ready.
Yes. Well, I also had, again, years ago, I ran Dr. And he's a holistic doctor, and he had certain patients that, they would come in with all these conditions, and no matter what he did, they would just refuse to heal. And I have a nephew, same thing. I mean, he's lived 40 years at the brink of death. He just, again, he was in the hospital. He was given 10% chance to live. Well, he came through. I said, "Don't worry about it. It'll just be another one of his stories to be able to tell." And they're attached, they're attached to somehow. And I know that happens. Thank God I never had that one, because when you're little, sometimes your way of either surviving abuse in the family or something that, or they needed attention when somebody else was getting it and they didn't get it, they will use illness and sickness as their means to get their needs met. And that's probably one of the hardest things for any practitioner like yourself to be able to help them to a healing point, or maybe with your mental health directions, you're unable to unearth your, or you are able to unearth these sources of what causes someone to absolutely be attached to their illness.
And that's why holistic care is so important. To me, it's not alternative medicine, it's common sense medicine, and it's the only way to practice because the mind body are connected. And so, you start where the patient is ready. And so that's why a holistic evaluation is important, to see where do they want to start. And many times they do come to me, or another medical provider for a specific illness, either an emotional mental illness such as depression or anxiety, or some kind of physical illness, maybe pain somewhere in the body, or digestive issues or hormonal issues. So that's where I like to let them be, in charge of where do you want to start. But we always do a holistic evaluation. Many times they have blocks and they don't know they have blocks. They're unconscious about
Ah,
their blocks. And so
that's yeah.
you meet them where they're ready and you start where they're ready. But yet, I always tell people it's like putting a puzzle together. You have a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and it's not just one thing that's causing them to be ill. It's many different things, and it may have started decades ago. And so we put all the pieces together, and then eventually we have the whole big picture. And that's what healing is becoming whole. And they're already whole. They're already perfect who they are. Their pure spirit is just perfect the way it is, but the mind body has certain blocks and certain things that's causing the imbalances, and that's what piece by piece you need to get to each one and uncover it and balance it, and eventually then the patient becomes whole and well again.
Yes. Now, another area that before we, we're running close to the end, but I want to know more about your anti-aging, attention in your practice, because I so wish that we were able to have this not just audio but video. You look beautiful. You have this beautiful lotus flower behind you. You look radiant and gorgeous, and it's hard to believe that you have four children.
Wow,
And
thank you.
oh yeah, you're
And you
just
look
stunningly
beautiful as
beautiful.
well, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well,
Well,
I believe that anti-aging should happen at any age. And it's not that I'm against the aging process itself. It's great that we're all getting older. In fact, I feel blessed to be in my 60s and be and to be healthy. And so I
nobody would
keep
believe
telling.
it. Oh,
I keep telling people each decade gets better. But, I think that we need to start teaching our children how to take care of themselves. We live in such a toxic
absolutely.
world, and our su food supply has been damaged. We need to educate children how to take care of themselves and how to eat healthy and how to get adequate sleep, and teach parents how to look at labels, and we can't eliminate all the toxins out of our lives because it's in the air and it's in the water, but at least we can choose not to give our children dyes and sugars and things like that, because slowly we do age, even young people, and they say that even people in their 20s now are developing cardiovascular disease and building up plaque arteries because of the way, that they're eating. And so, I think that anti-aging can be at any age. And it just means that aging, the normal aging that we have in the body is not chronic illness. And that's what we need to prevent, is chronic illness, and start young. Many chronic illnesses have happened for decades before they're ever diagnosed. For example, Alzheimer's, by the time someone's diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it's been going on for at least 20 years or more. So that's where the education piece is important. And whenever patients come to me, no matter what their age, I start educating them. And, we have phenomenons now as far as leaky gut and things like that, and the gut-brain connection. And so even children to me with leaky gut, the genetically modified foods and things like that are causing the intestinal permeability, which is causing inflammation. It's causing neural inflammation. Many times these kids, the ADD, and they'll be put on medication when actually they need to be healing the gut and eating differently. And so as far as my anti-aging clinic, I have people of all ages, and my goal is just to, the body is miraculous. So I just want to teach patients about the body and teach them how to prevent the inflammation and the degeneration that happens, which is not aging, it's chronic illness.
Wow. That's a wonderful way of approaching that, for sure. And I agree. I mean, there are so many wonderful things that we could be teaching children. And, now they're teaching them about things that we don't even want to mention right now. It's just shocking.
We don't want to get into shocking. That. We don't have time to get
disturbing.
Into that.
No,
I went out recently to the East Coast to visit my two little baby granddaughters, my oldest son's kids, and the oldest one is 2, and the youngest one is 1, so they have their hands full. But the 2-year-old wanted to do yoga with grandma, and it was just so cute. And little kids are the best yogis. They're so flexible. And she's just intuitive about it. And what a great exercise for kids to do to de-stress and, I wish that we could, and I think things are starting to where they are doing things like that in private schools anyway, to teach kids how to get in touch with their feelings and emotions and how to de-stress and things like that.
Yes. I think that's, another wonderful young man who I met in my shop, he was in a Montessori school, and his consciousness and just how his presence is, his whole being is just so beautiful. And he shared with me his upbringing and his parents and the way that they, were mindful of making sure that he had an education that supported the best of who he could be. And boy, he is a demonstration of that without question. So, So we have about 10 minutes left, and I would ask you this question of everything, and this is maybe a hard one to answer, but what would be primary in all of your studies and the wisdom that you've gained, the knowledge that you've acquired, what would be the most important and valuable thing that you could present to our listeners in this interview? That's a hard one.
It is a hard one. But what come to my mind first, I'm going to go with that, is to really believe in yourself and know who you are. And as my book title says, the wake-up call is now, and to wake into your true self and to empower that healer within you. And there's a lot of suffering going on in the world, but I think what is the most important is to focus on what's going on inside and to take charge of your health and really find a practitioner that can help guide you in that direction if you're not quite sure how to go. But I think that is the most important thing that you can do. And many people are so stressed out and in that sympathetic nervous system. And so if you can just take the time each day to really nurture yourself and check in with yourself and just make sure that your own basic needs are being met as far as, you know, are you taking really good care of yourself? Are you getting your sleep? Are you relaxing? Do you have a good social network? Do you have great relationships? Are you getting outside and getting your vitamin D levels up from the sun? Are you getting great nutritious food? I mean, all of that, it's not rocket science. It's just basic loving yourself. And so you can't really truly love others unless you're loving yourself. So I think the best thing that you can do is learn great self-care and all those things that I mentioned, that, you know, that is where a sense of peace and, you know, and joy comes from, is having that well-being, that feeling that all is well, and having that connection with your spirit and your higher power.
That's beautiful. And I know you do virtual virtual appointments with people. How would people be in touch with you?
Well, my website is debbiereynoldsnp.com. And you can make either in-person or virtual appointments online. There's that capability. Or if you have questions about my practice, before you make an appointment, you can call the office, and that number is 402-486-9373.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always like to repeat things, because people might not be already, you know, set up with a pencil and pen. So would you mind just stating that one more time for our listeners? Because
sure,
we don't have the ability to do, you know, a super like we would do if we had video. So
sure,
how again
sure.
would they reach you?
Okay. My website is my name, Debbie Reynolds, NP for nurse practitioner. com, and the office phone number is 402-486-9373.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And actually, yeah, the next show that's coming up on PRN, Progressive Radio Network, is A Different Angle, and Rodney and Kyle focus a lot on, you know, the mental healthcare issues. And I think you would be a wonderful guest as well on their show with all of your expertise and knowledge that you have accumulated with all you love to study. And I saw your credentials, and, you know, I'm guessing that there's probably more even than maybe is on the printed page. But, you know, because I know those of us that are seekers, we can even have, you know, conversations with people and gain so much insight from speaking to people that we, you know, value and have expertise of their own. So, you know, I know that what your credentials reveal is just probably a small portion of your basic consciousness that you can offer to people by just your presence. I know my meeting with you is so powerful and so touching, and I know it's a privilege to be in your presence, and I certainly encourage people to reach out to you and enjoy what you have as your essence to provide so much nurturing for people at this very strange era that we find ourselves in. And I think more than ever, it's important for us to, you know, to find ways to take care of ourselves, because it seems that a lot of the forces out there are trying to do just the opposite.
Yes. Well, thank you, Kathleen, again, for having me on the show. And yeah, you're right. I think it's a very, it's a unique time to be alive for sure. And there are a lot of things going on in the outside world that is very insane right now. And so that's why I think it's important to tap into that healer within and really get to know yourself during these crazy times, and just take really good care of yourself, and especially those basic things that I mentioned. And if anyone needs any extra support during these times, just call my office and I'd be happy to help.
Yes. Well, we, we have Gary Null doing his anti-aging program. I think this is going to be the fifth study that he's going to be beginning this month in May. And I've participated with him. I can't say that I've been absolutely on target with the discipline necessary to follow those protocols, because again, we have to be on our own for those 90 days that it takes to see what, and he actually takes blood samples before and after to show the DNA, changes in the DNA, to verify that what his protocol presents will actually be effective. And the last study proved to have, in that period of time, the DNA proved to be 2.5 years younger. Some of them actually 6 years younger, but the average turned out to be at 2.5 years. And in this next study, I suspect he has new protocols, and I anticipate that the results will be even more exciting. But, that's something when you can have something that's verifiable, like blood tests of the DNA.
Yeah. It gives you more incentive to stick to the protocols. And there are many protocols that really can affect your DNA, and you can reverse time. And, it's really doable that there's genetic SNPs that you can turn off and on depending on the type of food you eat, when you eat. I mean, there's so many different things that you can do to slow down the aging process.
Yes. In fact, you mentioned how, years before chronic illnesses can show up, and even in your handwriting, Sheila, another wonderful woman I had on my show, said that 10 years in advance, the handwriting can reveal if there's dementia coming or if there's cancer coming. Isn't that extraordinary that's possible?
Yes. The mind body is so connected.
Oh my goodness. And accessing these modalities. So if that shows up, you can have the ability using your skill set to interrupt that. Is that correct?
Yes. And you don't need to necessarily wait for those signs to show up. You want to prevent it before those shots things, those different signs and symptoms show up. But definitely you can turn those back too. It's not always too late. And, unfortunately, what I'm finding that the neurologists do, the traditional neurologists, if someone is showing cognitive decline, they may do an MRI and say, no, you don't have Alzheimer's, come back to see me in a year. But they don't give them anything to work on or any protocols to reverse that cognitive decline. So you don't want to do that. If you're showing signs of cognitive decline, then you need to go to a functional medicine specialist that's going to do the testing, that's going to help you to get back on track again so that you're not showing those signs of decline.
Right.
It could be toxicities. It could be that you've had a mold exposure. It could be heavy metal. There's so many different things. It could be a microbial infection. There's biofilms. There's so many different things that could be. So it's important that you go to someone that's going to help you, not just wait until it's actually you're diagnosed with Alzheimer's and many times
there we go.
After that.
Excellent advice. Well, my dear Debbie Reynolds, you've been a wonderful contribution to Wise Women. I thank you so much for taking the time and spending it with us today. And with that, I think we're going to close the program. And I hope everybody listens to A Different Angle with Kyle and Rodney. And with that, I thank you, Debbie.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. It was a pleasure to be with you.
As well, myself. Thank you so much, dear.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time.